This is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantel on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here, and very happy to be anywhere, man. The way things are going anymore, I'm just happy to be doing what I'm doing, enjoying it, and thanking our friends at Not Just Guns, also our friends at Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, all getting together to help bring you this show, and we appreciate that here on the Michigan Talk Network, our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and I'm going to talk to our good friend, outdoor writer and angler, Mark Sack. We are getting ready, despite air temperature, despite what it looks like, we're getting ready for ice season. And Mark, southern Michigan, lower Michigan, let's not even think about it right now because we're still thinking Lake Erie and walleye fishing. But the ice is going to happen, and in some places is happening, which I'm very happy about.
Yes, sir. It is, you know, it's that annual look at the weather every day to see where the cold is going to set in. I mean, and we never wish for cold any other time of the year.
Right, right.
When we've got the shacks ready to roll, you know, and usually, you know, we're going to look at, obviously, it works out best too. Usually, is we're looking at the UP and the northern lower first, because you know even if they get 6-8 inches of ice by mid-January, they got so much snow that you can't fish it. There's too much slush on top already. So now is the time to really start looking at watching lakes up there that you may go to. And I'm, you know, Cadillac and Mitchell is huge, huge for ice fishing. I mean, for whatever reason, right up there in Cadillac, it does lock up pretty quickly. And that bait shop up there has ice reports all the time. So trying to think of the name of the ice shop. Nah, it's not Sportsman's. It's right in between the two lakes there. Anyways, you pull up bait shop in Cadillac or Lake Mitchell and it'll pop. But they have weekly ice reports up there. But, you know, now is the really good time to hit the UP, too. And Manistique, that chain up there is really good early, you know, and you can get some nice walleyes or perch up there. You know, you can bump a few bluegills, too, but mostly, you know, believe it or not, if you throw something down there intending to catch a walleye, chances are you may hook up. So it's a good place to go. And what I always do is look for weed beds, check the maps, check everything you can and look for weed beds, obviously watching where other guys are fishing too. But, you know, by mid-January, that bite is going to be tougher and tougher to get on because you've got so much snow up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down here, we look at, we look at Martin Luther King Day as the day that usually we're pretty locked up in mid-Michigan. And that's, you know, that's January 20th every year. And I always know that because all the GM guys got that day off and they're all ice fishing. The big three guys, and all of a sudden you see these guys and they're out there and they're sitting on a bucket somewhere. And they're not really super hardcore guys, but they're GM guys who got the day off and said, heck, I'm going fishing today.
Right.
You know, that's usually about the time now, obviously. I mean, I've been on the ice down here in November. But, you know how it's been lately. We've just had warmer temps. And this fall, we were 2 weeks behind down here this year, the whole year, as far as fall went. We held our leaves longer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was 2 weeks late. So don't expect a really early ice season here either. It's going to take a while. So, you know, like you said, we're still chasing walleyes in the boat yet and trying to fish the Saginaw River a little bit if it doesn't muddy up too much, because that's always fun. And guys are already talking about getting on the ice on Saginaw River. Well, it's pretty tough to do when bass boats are flying up and down it, you know.
Right. Yeah, not a lot of ice collecting. You know, not a lot of ice forming when you got a walleye boat or two flying up and down the river, looking to start, you know, doing a little jigging or whatever. Mark Sack is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Mark, I want to talk just briefly about prepping, getting new line on, because look, we know how important that is, whether it's our casting rods, our bait fishing, spinning, whatever the fact. Same goes true for ice fishing line. Now, to me, there's always a question of high-vis line or, like, low-vis line. Some people like it. You know, they get a little older. They want to see their line, like the green, the real bright green or the blue, which I think the blue can kind of go either way. We can kind of see it up here, but it kind of goes into the fold of the water. But and then there's clear. Do you have a preference yourself, or is there a recommendation for the three?
You know, that's a good topic. And I don't know if folks remember when Al Lindner came out with a statement that bluegills will come up and look up the line, up the hole. And I've actually seen camera of them doing that. And, you know, it is because usually the water is gin clear. You do have a big issue. And to be really honest with you, the best line that I have ever used over my 40 years of ice fishing is nylon sewing thread. And I use it religiously for bluegills. It is probably about a quarter pound test. It is important that you put it on a pole that has a good drag on the reel, and that your pole can give a little bit so you're not fishing with a stick, because, yeah, you can snap it off, but if you've got the right setup, you can also catch a 5 pound bass on it, no problem. So I have always looked at low diameter stuff. Stuff that conceals completely. And my whole thing has been use the lightest line you can get away with. Obviously, sewing thread is horrible to use when you're sitting out on a bucket because you can't get it down in the hole.
Right.
The wind's blowing. You know, so if you're in a shanty, it helps a great deal. You know, other than that, you know, should be looking at the business end of it and what you're actually using on the other end. I'm real particular in that, too, and I use a lot of different baits that have hair on them,
mm-hmm.
and I think that it really helps a great deal. Northland's got some really good stuff out now. I actually just found something last year, and I don't even know the name of it yet. I'm still trying to track it down, believe it or not. But this thing was a gold metallic ant that had black hair tied around the center of it. Oh, my God, the thing, I can't keep fish off it. It's amazing. So for me, you know, and I use gold really a great deal in high-pressure situations when the sun is out. That's when I turn to gold, believe it or not. Now, I know that that's opposite of what they say. You know, you get dark days, you go with gold, and you get light days, and you go with silver. A little bit different under the ice, I can tell you. And, you know, we've experimented for
sure.
Years. I'll tell you something else. Scent is another big issue to deal with.
Hold that thought, because we're going to come right back to that. Because we got to take a quick break right here. We're going to speak with Mark Sack, find out why scent is important, and find out also tungsten versus lead. We know the environmental reasons behind it, but there's some other properties, too, we'll talk about. It's all coming your way next here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here. I'm being brought to you by Not Just Guns. Don't forget, Wednesday night auctions at notjustguns.com, and lots of great ammunition, personal carry, you know, all kinds of great things. And it literally is Not Just Guns. They have a full array of everything you'd possibly want. Plus, they have the training center there for CPL classes and more advanced classes as well. And it's, I could go on all day about Not Just Guns, but please check them out online, notjustguns.com. Going to get back to Mark Sack, outdoor writer and good friend of ours. We're talking a little bit about ice fishing, and we kind of teased you a little bit about the importance of scent with ice fishing. And I know, Mark, first ice comes, there's a lot of people who want to be out there because, I mean, it's just like, boom, it's here, and the fishing is really good, but there's always ways to enhance our attack when we go out.
Absolutely. And I'm a firm believer in scents through the ice, because when you look at that environment in the summertime, you look at how many scents can be in that water at the same time. I mean, there's literally got to be hundreds of different scents under there. In the wintertime, that changes a great deal. You don't have as many organisms that are, you know, procreating under, you know, under the water surface, and just the mega things that are happening under there. You just don't have that in the wintertime. And it is a scientific fact, actually, that fish smell very, very well in colder water. So that can be a bad thing, and that can be a good thing. If you just spilled gas on your hands and you didn't wash them, and you didn't take care of that issue, you know, it can negatively affect, because everything you touch is going to have a little bit of that remnants of that gas smell on there, or oil, or whatever you've got on your hands. Whereas if you're using a scent on that bait and you're trying to make sure that, you know, your hands are halfway clean, you know, it can obviously help you a great deal, you know. And we've done so many different little trials on that to find out truly. And you'd laugh. I mean, all these scents that are on the market, the best one ever, and we used to bring these out on the ice all the time with us, Kipper Snacks. You know what Kipper Snacks
are? Oh, yeah, I know what Kippers are.
It's got fish oil in them, right? They're like sardines that have fish oil in them. And geez, oh, Pete, you know, you take that juice and you dip your bait in that thing. Holy mackerel, man. They go crazy out of this. So, you know, you don't have to go buy a $10 thing of scent to do it. You can, you know, obviously just keeping your hands clean is a very big thing.
All right, Mark Sack is joining us here right now, and for some reason, I'll get to what I was thinking here in a moment, but I want to go back to the original point that I brought up just before the break. I know we've talked about the properties of lead and the environmental impact it has, but for ice fishing, tungsten, although more expensive, has really taken the market by storm.
Absolutely, and once you fish tungsten effectively, you will never go back to lead, because pinfish got ADD. I can just tell you that. They, you know, they will come in and they will attack that bait, and there will be five or six there. And I watch them. You know, we've caught holes big enough where we can watch these fish down there, right? And, you know, pretty soon you hook three of them, you know, and you bring the third one up, and the other ones are going, yeah, I think they're just going to go find somewhere else to eat, you know, and they start swimming away. And the thing is with tungsten, you can get down so quick, they don't even know what's happening. I mean, you're down in, you know, in 20 feet of water, you can get down literally in 2 seconds with tungsten. It's that quick, especially if you're using a light line, like I talked about earlier with the sewing thread or the 1 pound or the 2 pound. You know, you can get down extremely quickly. So that is exactly why, the reason, and it really jigs well, too. I mean, it has a great movement. You know, there's a lot of good tungsten out there on the market right now. So, you know, they're a little expensive, but, you know, if you're going to put all the money in to go out and ice fish, you want to be as successful as you can, too. So you should check into some. And I know a lot of folks say, ah, that goes away. Well, you know, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I had a guy once say, why should I buy a new ice auger? My Model 30 Jiffy works great. I said, yeah, why would you?
Right.
And you know, if you love your lead and you like to do it, well, it's up to you, you know. But the tungsten stuff has just proven that you can get down twice as fast. Therefore, you might be able to hold that school a little longer.
Mark Sack joining us right now. We've talked the seriousness of ice fishing. I want to have a little fun because, you know, it's around Christmas time right now, and, you know, the as seen on TV things are really coming out. How come there's never been a banjo minnow or a helicopter lure made for ice fishing?
Yeah, there should be. You know, you can, some of those baits you can cruise to the side, you know,
right.
cruise it right underneath the hole.
That's the flying minnow. That's the flying minnow.
Right. But that's the crazy part about it, too. I'm sure that you could hook a big old pike on one of those minnows with no problem at all.
You know, I don't know why my mind strays to things like that. You know, you go back to the Color C Lector and all these variants of quackery in the fishing industry. But, you know, we've been blessed the opportunities to hang out and talk with guys like Bill Dance and Jimmy Houston, which, dude, I've got stories for days about those guys, about hanging out with them at the Bassmaster Classic. But, you know, and I've asked him dead seriously here on the show, you know, banjo minnow or helicopter lure, and they get stunned. It's like, wait a minute, weren't one of you guys like promoting this lure, and all of a sudden I give you a serious question and you can't answer it?
Well, the other amazing thing is I guarantee you every one of them had a Color Selector at one point or another.
Probably.
We all did.
Right. I never did. I almost bought one at a garage sale one time, but they were a little pricey for me.
Well, no, my father-in-law picked one up at a garage sale, and so we used that thing. But here it did. It had, like, the five best colors you could ever put down there anyway. So, you know, you're bound to hit some sometimes.
There's bound to be a fish that's going to hit it anyway, and there it worked. But
it's like the Delier, man, you know, the good old Delier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like, it's without it, you know, I mean, it really does. It makes fishing fun. It makes the conversations fun about this stuff. And with the Christmas time, too, what would we have ever done without Ron Popeil? I mean, you know, or KTEL? They brought us all this stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many of those rods still around.
Oh, the pocket fishermen. I mean, come on. Yeah. Those are actually hot collectibles now. The pocket fisherman, if you can find one, they bring great money. And I am not kidding. But what I'm glad to see is not left the shelves, or I'm sorry, the tables of the garage sale, is the Billy Bass.
Oh, yeah. Father-in-law had one of those, too. But it was the best thing ever. You know?
Oh, my gosh, man. I love getting off topic here sometimes because, you know, you got to have fun.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, really. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've laughed about the Color Selector or Billy Bass or whatever. I mean, it gets passed down in families and everybody chuckles about it. And it's just, it's wonderful.
It's part
of the sport.
It is part of the sport, and that's what makes it great, is that not only can we be serious, but we can laugh at ourselves as well. I remember one Bassmaster Classic. I can't remember if I was down in Alabama or South Carolina or one of the three, or Oklahoma. I think it was South Carolina. It's like, you know, here they go. And day two, Kevin Van Dam is sitting there doing commentary. Why? Because he got knocked out. You know, it happens.
Yep.
And you know what? You go on. You don't hide from the camera. You get in front of it and you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I got whacked in the PWT and you still had to do interviews. You still had to get articles out. You still had to push on. And that's part of that side of things about being a pro, is that a real pro, he's going to be there for you, and he's going to give you more tips. And he's going to give you all he's got, you know. I mean, that's what they're there for.
Absolutely, really? Absolutely. And, you know, again, I've shared this memory with you before, but to be walking around in South Carolina and hearing this noise coming through the TV, I started laughing, being from Michigan, because I knew these guys were blowing ice out of the eyes of their fishing rods.
Yeah, it's always, you know what? Those are the best tournaments, too, the adverse ones. I love those. Those are great.
Absolutely. Mark Sack, appreciate you joining us here. And thanks to all our guests. Thanks to Keith Stanton. Thanks to Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News. Thanks to Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing. Thanks to Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense and United Deer Farmers of Michigan for giving us 15 great years. And Mark, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the laughs. And we'll talk to you all again soon here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.